you actually sound a little loud, Fess. You sound like you're sort of maxing out there a little bit.
Hang on, let me see. Okay, that does look like. Now I'm going to keep talking as I turn myself down. And okay, is that better?
Yeah, I was tempted to do that thing where you say a little less, a little less, a little less, that's until finally you're at zero.
That's just, Anton, but I won't do that. Whatever. Okay.
You're listening to the Webcomic Beacon at webcomicbeacon.com.
Hello and welcome to another edition of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com, part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. I'm Fess from argicomic.com, and with me, we've got a little bit of a panel here. We've got Mark Savory from, well, I guess it's not autumnlake.com anymore, is it, Mark?
Well, sort of, kind of, but not really.
So what's that new URL?
Dreamingofutopia.com.
All right. And we got Kelly Turnbull from The Punchline is Machismo, or manlyguys.com. Welcome.
Hello.
And we have Arnis Schulenberg from unionofheroes.com. Welcome.
Hello from Germany.
How do you pronounce your title in German?
Union der Helden.
Ah, and that's, I'll get that in the show notes as well. And we also have Eric Kimball from BladeBunny.com. Welcome back.
Greetings and salutations, Internet.
And we may have a couple more guests later on in the show, as I probably, maybe, perhaps slightly splice some other interviews into this episode. But for right now, this is the indefinite hiatus slash quitting episode. Or as I'm going to coin the episode as, know when to fold them. Some people will get that reference. It's actually a reference to a song about playing poker and knowing when to, or playing Texas Hold'em, technically, I think. And
No, classic poker.
It was classic poker? Okay.
Yeah. It's Kenny Rogers, man.
Yeah. Rogers.
It's actually from one of the a project I did in it was my first video project in a classroom in college, where we had to record like a skit and edit it together using iMovie and everything, and that was like the theme song we used. I don't have a copy of it, unfortunately, but anyway, moving on. We have so one thing that we're going to be talking about is essentially, you know, that indefinite hiatus, or just moving on. From
Wait, don't we have more people
projects.
Here?
We do. Didn't we? I went through everybody.
Did you go through everybody?
Yeah.
Sorry.
You weren't paying attention, Mark.
I wasn't paying attention. I was thinking, gee, I hope he goes through everybody. Okay, never mind.
And so we're going to start off with Arne, if I'm saying your name correctly.
Correct.
Awesome.
Great.
And so with Union of Heroes, I know that you had actually intended for maybe a 6-month intended hiatus, or sabbatical even. And that's gone on a lot longer than that. So what I'd like you to tell us about is, first, let's start off with the intent of going on a hiatus. What was the initial plan that you needed to go on a hiatus for?
Yeah, the initial plan was that I was living in Dortmund with my family, but due to a loss in the family, my father died 2 years ago now, and that changed very much for us, because before that, my father and my uncle together were an advertising agency, and now I am together with my uncle, this advertising agency. And for that, I had to move to Solingen, because that was one hour drive per distance. And 2 hours per day driving, that's not something what you really want to do. Right. So we had our move to Solingen now, and I had the hope to restart the comic after this move. But right now the situation is that we have so much to do in the agency that I don't really have the free time to produce new pages or to organize a photo shooting, because Union of Heroes is a photo comic with mm-hmm. actors, and so you have to do you have to spend quite a lot of time on organizing the production, and then later rearranging the photos when you have produced the photos. Mm-hmm. And I don't have the time for that right now. I hope that this time will come in the next couple of months. But right now, unfortunately, I can't do it. And so the hiatus continues to grow.
Indefinitely.
Yeah.
Yeah, so as far as like everybody here, you have the best example of, okay, we need a little bit of a break, and clearly you had really good reasons. Yeah. And then it just, you know, kind of got away from you and thus became the dreaded indefinite hiatus of webcomics. So
yeah. Curses.
Curses. this particular episode of the Webcomic Beacon was partially prompted by Tom from aloneinthecrowd.aiacrowd.com, and I'm going to try to get him on the show and talk a little bit more about that. But essentially, he said he intentionally announced an indefinite hiatus, which I'm not sure if most people announce that they're going to go on an indefinite hiatus. It just usually happens where a comic sort of misses an update and keeps missing an update, and then it gets to be, you know, VG Cats, where it's almost in. We might update at some
point. Kate Beaton announced that she was going to do an indefinite hiatus, and that was when everybody was getting all like, oh no, you owe it to the internet because we made you what you are. And it's like, no, you can take time off from the internet if you've got to work on TV deals and books and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. Things
you're
that
allowed.
Pay. Yeah.
You're allowed.
That's another reason. When you got better paying work elsewhere, where, I mean, that's the update sporadically schedule. She said that she would make updates whenever she could. So that's...
Yeah, that's a weird situation, because Kate Beaton really was made by the internet. Most people who go on hiatus, they're going on hiatus and, you know, they have a few fans, but they're going on to other jobs that are completely unrelated to what they're doing in comics. I mean, it's a weird situation if you're a success with a comic and using that success you get something else. That's a really strange situation. That doesn't happen that much. Most of the time, it's you're plugging away, you're surviving, but you're not getting anywhere, and you just do the math and say, I can make a lot more money doing just a normal job, you know?
Right, right. Let's see here. I think I'm going to try and get Jason in here.
Hello.
Hello, Jason.
Hey, what's up?
This is Fess. You're on the Webcomic Beacon.
Ah, hello.
We've gotten to the point where we're going to talk to you.
Okay.
Are you ready to play the game?
Oh, I think so.
You could win hundreds of thousands in not real money.
Yes.
Internet dollars.
No, theoretical dollars, remember?
Theoretical internet dollars, yes.
All right, so in this episode, we're talking about going on hiatus or just quitting your project. And so a few people kind of know of already kind of what happened. So, Jason, I wanted you to talk about Ardra a little bit, as in you basically stepped away from that.
Oh, yeah. Basically, it wasn't really going where I kind of wanted it to go. I figured when John took over, it would kind of take off, and for whatever reason, it just wasn't really taking off, and we got rejected by Spider Forest or something, and just a lot of stuff was going on at the time. I didn't think my writing was very good at the time, and just a lot of things were kind of going on there. They just decided, well, it's probably just not better to step away from it.
Right, right. And I basically have been working with you for the past few years with scripting and whatnot, and now I'm doing coloring, but the coloring was just a way to, hey, maybe we can get somebody to work for us if I can do part of the work. But if I could, like, from my observations, looking at a creator, it seemed to you, for a lot of things, you seem to take things a little bit more personally than I thought personally merited. But then again, you have been working on the comic for a long time. It was about
how long have you been working on it? How long were you working on Adra?
Since about I think December of 2005.
So a long time.
That's when I first started. Really, it was going continuously since about June of 2006. So I quit for a while till I found Trevor, and then it's been going pretty much ever since then. Some hiatuses here and there, but
yeah. And Mark, you made a comment that does it seem to be that every, like, 5 years seems to be the breaking point for, like, a lot of people of when they start.
That was my observations. I think Alone in the Crowd, he had done about 5 years.
Yeah.
Jason, 5 years is the point where you stop and you sit back and you say, why the heck am I doing this? because before then, the first year is just this thrill ride of, I've put something on the web, and it's like people are, and then the next year people start paying attention to you. So year two is just, I'm going to be famous. Year three is, I don't know why I'm not famous. And then you've got those two more years where you're just plugging away. And at the end of year five, you're like, oh my God, what am I doing with my life here?
That's a little harsh.
I think that sums it up very well, actually.
Yeah, kind of.
So, yeah, it's sort of that, you know, this is sort of like the idea. Now, Jason, I don't know what your goal was when you started Ardra. Did you start it as just a hobby sort of thing?
Well, pretty much when I started, I had no idea what the hell I was doing. So,
Like most people that make webcomics.
Well, worse than most people, I think, if you saw my drawings. So,
oh, yeah.
If you saw the website that was on at that point, too, the one that before the Trevor website, it was pretty bad, too. So.
Yeah. Even still, it was on Angel Fire when
we upgraded the Storm pages after a while. That was a little better than Angel Fire.
Is Angel Fire still going, or was it just GeoCities that shut down?
I think it's mercifully over now, I think. Don't quote me on that.
Fond memories of GeoCities. I once, there was a during the crossover wars, I basically made a fake website for, like, one of the so-called comics that one of the characters existed in back in the day, and I made it on GeoCities, and I tried to make it really, really bad. it was pretty fun to go, oh, nostalgia. So yeah, it's sort of like the thing, you kind of like start, I don't know what I'm doing, or I'm doing this as a hobby, and then you start getting to the, I don't know, Jason, when did it stop being a hobby for you and more like work, I guess?
I think it was sometime around before maybe the second Trevor run. That's about when that's when I kind of thought, oh, okay, here's where we're going to take off, and it just never really did. And
you said before,
and after a while, it just kind of decided, well, you know, maybe this isn't as fun as I thought it was.
Mm.
It just kind of gradually went down from there.
Was it
rather
after?
Than when John first took over, I got really psyched. But okay. I don't know why nobody reads his stuff. I mean, it kicks butt. I mean, it's really good. But
well, it's like
a case of people not getting it or something. I don't know what it is. But
yeah. Now, were you saying you were kind of wanting to question it? It felt more like work before Trevor came back a second time, or after he'd been on a second time for a while?
I think it was around the time that the hiatus part was coming around, the second, when Trevor was starting to be a little scarce there the second time.
Oh, okay. So, yeah, I think
it really started.
The situation with Ardra.
It was a total fluke that we got John anyway, because I basically just made a joke to him at one point, would you like to draw the comic? And he's like, okay. And I was like, what? Wait, what?
he made that same comment. Whoa. He made the same comic brought up. Tom from Alone in the Crowd made a comic. Well, hey, if you want to draw Alone in the Crowd, he's like, It's like, okay, John is too much like me. It's like always a good idea for a new project, huh? So I don't know why we do this to ourselves, but yeah, with Arjun, it's like you kind of got like, all right, well, then the artist disappeared. And, oh, I got another artist, which was me, and I was kind of crap, but at least I did updates. And then I, yeah, and then Trevor comes back. Oh my God, here we go again. Woo! And then he goes away, and then, oh, hey, we got a new art. We got John. Woo! So you kind of get like teased every once in a while with new prospects, I guess. It's pretty interesting.
I mean, to think Arthur like is cursed or something.
Because
it seems like every time it gets going, something happens, something comes up, and the momentum dies.
Oh well,
that's every comic, unfortunately. The number of war stories I have with artists is just we could have an entire episode on that. There's always, you know, like I said, the first year is just like, wow, everything's going great. And then all of a sudden you realize, oh my God, that was just a fluke and life is suffering. And that's, and you have to fight through after that. And it just, it gets really hard after a while because it becomes a job even if you don't want it to be a job.
Yeah.
Yeah, when we started Union of Heroes, our approach was that it should become our job, so that we wanted to really earn enough money with Union of Heroes to afford our living.
Mm-hmm.
And so the 3 years where I really worked on it, we spent almost, let's say, 70% of our time we spent for Union of Heroes, of our working time, and only 30% on working on other projects so that we earned enough money for a living. But when I had to stop, I had reached the point where where the money which I had to spend for the production of Union of Heroes came back. So it took 3 years to achieve this point, and now I don't know if it would have become better working on it, continue to work on it. But at least when after these 3 years, we had the point where we had a kind of break even that when we spent money for the comic, it came back. And yeah, unfortunately, we had to stop then. But we see, maybe we'll reach this point again.
Yeah, it's a little bit. Now we're getting a little bit of an echo. Oh, wait, there it goes. It's when you realize that you're trying to do something and you may just not have a proper business plan, or things come up and just get in the way of it. I know I tried to turn the Webcomic Beacon, okay, this is not going to be a hobby anymore. I'm really going to try for it. And it turns out I really had a terrible business plan. When I went over to the Webcast Beacon Network, that was the turning point. And I'll talk more about that later. But one thing I think was really interesting, I want to bring this up. Christopher Baldwin, who does the comic Space Trawler. We had him on the show before, I believe. I also talked to him in person when he was at a convention. I was, hey, it's you. All right, awesome. I'll talk to you. And he was telling me that, you know, the way that he's designed Space Trawler, it was specifically just going to be three books, like three trade comic, you know, like, I don't know, they're like 120 pages each or something like that. He worried about the staying power of a really long comic, of like, especially when you have a story comic. It's harder for new people to come into a story that's been running for a long time, a gag a day sort of story that sort of has, like, you know, storylines here and there, or just gag a day. You know, people can jump in at any time during those ones that have been online for 10 years or so. And so he was like, okay, I'm just going to specifically make a complete story. It's going to take three books to do it. And I think that's a really interesting way to approach something. Some of us, you know, it's like I have, you know, my PSI comic, my baby, my first web comic ever, and I don't want to give it up, but, you know, why am I doing it? You know, I love it. I know it's completely a hobby comic. I know that it has such a skewed sort of audience. I have no idea, but I was like, I really want to do it. But maybe I really should have planned and move on for some other stuff. And this is why I'm trying to segue over to Eric Kimball, who's had some similar experiences. And but before I go to that, Jason, are you still there?
Oh, yeah. Yep.
I don't know if you want to actually hang on your phone for continuing on with the show, or if you got to go or not.
No, that's fine. I can stick around for a little bit.
Okay. I just don't want to just be hanging on the phone, just listening.
No.
Okay. I'm good. So, Eric, we know we've had you on the show a long time ago one of the first year you and even Tom was on the show, and we were basically putting together a let's brainstorm a comic, and then eventually you came on as newscast and a crew and all that. And in between that time, you had the most difficult URL to spell, exiern.com, I believe.
Yes.
And eventually,
we all got to learn from your challenges.
Yeah, yes. that was one of my big mistakes when I was starting out, because I picked a URL that looked pretty. And I was like, this is going to get me noticed, because this looks so unique. and then I was talking about, I was saying, yeah, I have a webcomic. And they say, what's it called? And I said, it's called, oh, shit. I have no idea how to pronounce this word.
What? You really have what?
Mixiplex.
Mixiplex, yes. And that's when I realized I did something stupid there. But that was recoverable.
The URL formerly known as Prince. That's what it was.
Yeah.
I thought people would remember the punchline as Machismo, because it's, you know, it's like a phrase. It's like, oh yeah, I can remember, you know, I can remember that sequence of words, but nope, manly guys, so much easier. But I still like punchline as Machismo.
Yeah.
But
picking URL is an art in itself, yes. I gotta say.
I had the misfortune that mine, Autumn Lake, well, that's pretty good, Earl. You can remember that.
Yeah.
The trouble is, well, twofold. Some people can't spell autumn.
Yes.
But I mean, that's very, very minor. The big problem for me is that it was previously owned by Prawn Pirates. way back in the day, the first person who owned that URL did some kind of like online web fiction soap opera thing. And he didn't have very good security on his site, or he let it go, or whatever happened, but they got hold of it. So ever since then, there's a lot of people who can't go to my site because their workplace has a filter and says, oh, this is a prawn site.
Oh.
So that probably didn't help my traffic any.
Yeah.
Yeah, you'd think that would be the case with the URL manly guys, but here we are.
This isn't really our topic, but a friend of mine who makes the webcomic Hainted Hauler, which is an actual place, he picked that URL before doing a Google search on it, and before he realized there was a porno with the same name. So, and that always comes up above his comic. And then the other problem is everyone thinks it's haunted and doesn't type it in correctly. Picking URLs is important.
Yeah, and we could have
something
a whole,
I'm not good at.
We could have a whole show about this, but I wanted to get to the point is that eventually you sold Exern, did you not?
After a fashion. Now, I did sell it for the huge price of $1 for tax reasons. And this was because I wanted out. And I knew a guy who wanted to manage it. And I said, all right, dude. He was already helping me manage the comic. And I said, all right, if you want it, take it. And, you know, that was a hard decision, because that was a comic that actually was making money and actually had a following to it. And I was going through, and I reached a point where I was like, I don't want to do this. And this was because of the content of the comic. I started out the comic, and it sort of got this momentum to it, and the way it worked, I mean, brass tacks, it had gone to a slightly porny place, in that the model for it was, you know, I was selling pinup pictures off of the site, and it was I've told this story before, but there was a week where the artist had missed delivering a comic. So I simply grabbed one of the pinup pictures, put it on the front page. There were, you know, these were topless pinup pictures. Mm-hmm. So I put censor bars on the front page, and I said, oh, here's just a filler and you can get the uncensored picture if you pay me a little money. That was the most profitable day. And I just sat there looking at that and I said, writing a comic, actually writing a story, is getting in the way of making a profit on this comic. Uh-huh. And I just sat there and I said, I'm out. That's it. I'm done. The fact that I am actually getting in the way of profits by trying to have plot, story, and character, that's when I realized that was not for me.
Well, was Extern already supposed to be cheesecake?
No, originally, no. The whole cheesecake thing happened by accident.
Accident or artist interpretation? Because I know you're the writer.
Yeah, well, accident. Artist interpretation and accident. Because here's what happened. Speaking of quitting, I mean, I've quit Exeron multiple times on certain levels. Because I started out drawing it myself. And I did that for a year where I was drawing the comic. And I reached a point with that where, even if you're a crappy artist, even if you're a horrible artist, it still takes you about 5 hours to draw your horrible art.
Jason, how long did it take you to draw a strip of Ardra?
Oh, about an hour.
Well, it showed.
Exceptionally horrible. So.
It showed. I'm just...
The inking and the lettering and the whole nine yards, too.
Yeah.
I think
of course, you know, he was drawing it on, wasn't paper. Line paper, was it?
But, no, it was just paper. It was just a sheet of white paper, like printer paper.
And ballpoint?
No, it was like a felt tip.
Oh, fancy.
So. I moved that to a finer felt tip at one point. That was what passed for improving the artwork back then.
Yeah.
There's something to be said. There's something to be said about just going and drawing your own thing.
I do miss those days. I do miss the days I drew it myself. And it made me a so much better writer drawing it myself, because I used to just have these huge dialogue boxes, and when you're drawing the art and then you cover up your own art, you learn to talk less.
Yes, yes. This is something I trained Jason on as well.
Yeah.
You're like, okay, I'm going to step away from this.
Yeah, I basically said, I had a little money saved up, and I said, look, I can't draw this anymore. If anyone knows an artist, here's some cash. I'll pay them for it. And strangely enough, an artist came for it. I was really intending just to quit. That was sort of me throwing down the gauntlet, saying, okay, guys, if you want this comic to continue, you got to find me an artist. And they found me an artist. And so
that's pretty cool.
The artist started drawing, and the first thing he up until that point, the comic was PG, and I was kind of intent on keeping it PG. And the first comic he drew was topless, you know, and I'm like, oh, wait, no. But he had already drawn it. I had these pages, and I was like, all right, well, I have this stuff. And I just said, again, it was sort of this throwing down the gauntlet, like, all right, guys, if you want a topless picture, come pay, give me some money through PayPal. I made $1,800.
And oh, like, I'm totally going about things the wrong way.
You have to be a good artist. Not a good artist. This artist was amazing. And so I was like, oh, okay, I can pay for this comic now, and I can keep the artist. And that's how it happened. It was like, okay, I don't want to draw it myself. I have this artist I have to pay. Apparently there's a demand for this. And so that's where it went. But
you died a little inside, didn't you?
I did die a little inside. Oh. I mean, and it was this slow drip, drip, drip of people yelling, "Take it off!" every time I had a dramatic moment. I'm like, I was like, no, I have to get out.
That had to be difficult to entirely leave X-Men. Do you ever look at it, or do you not look at it anymore?
Oh, it's the most. I thought I would be cool with it. When I left it, I thought I would be totally cool with someone else taking it up. I thought I was, you know, I was like, I'm mature. I can share my universe. It is the most painful experience of your life seeing someone else work with your characters.
It's like you broke up with your comic.
it is awful. I mean, and it's not like the writer is bad. The current writer they have on there is pretty good. It's just, it's not me. And he's not doing the things I would do.
You didn't like submit like an outline. This is what I had originally intended.
Sort of. I did. And the writer ignored it and did his own thing because he's the writer now. And I am not.
See,
and that's really hard to, I've been away for a year. The first 2 months was agony. It was because I would check the comic and then I'd go, oh, no, I want to do this. After that, I just stopped checking and I'm a much happier person now.
Did you have any sort of contract at all?
Did I? Yes, I do have a contract. Okay. And I could, if I really wanted to be a bastard, get the comic back. Mm. There is a clause in that contract where I can steal it back for 5 years. So there is that sort of clause in the agreement.
Interesting.
But I'm not going to do that.
Okay.
I mean, I'm pretty confident that that was the right decision to leave that comic. When it becomes something that is just painful for you to do, you have to get out. I mean,
this,
even though it was, it's making money, it's not making money the right way, you know?
Okay. So nobody can call Eric a sellout, I think. So
no, you can.
We can.
Gee, if I could have made $1,800 bucks in a day,
I'm trying to compliment you and say you still have some integrity.
I am a reformed sellout. How about that?
Okay. Because... okay. So this is kind of the same, sort of similar to what Jason and I had. We came up with I am in charge of Arger right now, but I Jason, I don't know if you're wincing at all yet because we're still sort of working off an outline you had sort of come up with already.
Well, yeah, that storyline is so long, but it's still the stuff I was working on. I mean, I've been off for like almost a year now.
Right.
Tell you how long that storyline was.
Yeah, I haven't.
There was like a 9-month hiatus in there too. That didn't help. But
It's and also we're having update troubles now. But that's besides the point. Oh, yeah. Still, like the storyline, because you had an outline that we were working with Adam Smithy with it a little bit, and I talked to him again to try to work out some bugs here and there. So we're still more or less on your content. Now after that, it's a little bit different because I'm going to be starting my own content, so to speak.
Yeah, basically, it's some of your own stuff and some stuff that basically I had the outline for the story, but that was about
right.
It.
But we've been also working together like that for a while, so I'm sure that transition was maybe not as harsh on you. We'll see what happens after the storyline ends.
After this one, once it becomes your baby more, we'll see how it goes, I guess. But for now, I don't really see an issue. Yeah.
We have a write up. I actually haven't sent you like a finished like printed thing yet, which apparently we're supposed to do, I actually did design everything because I am an artist, I'm a creator too, and it's like there's clause in there if Arger ever jumps to another medium, we have to renegotiate everything. You still get like a percentage of because you're the creator sort of thing, and as well as you have veto power for things that are absolutely not within the characters. Like, if I somehow made, like, a porn comic, I'm pretty sure you would veto a lot of things about that. So it's like, I wanted to make sure...
Or no, how much are we selling out? How much money is involved?
I'm just saying, it's like, I was really being mindful of creator rights with this because... because I had heard things like Eric talking about, like, oh, no! And it's like, I wanted to make sure that there is some sort of, like, ability for... still have the freedom of the new writer, but still have some power of some control. So, you know, these are things that people have to think about if they are going to end their comic and maybe hand it off to somebody else. And I think Jason and I working together, we really got a vibe for it. Even John, when he comes up with like his own pages that we don't write at all, he has an idea. He's got a really good feel.
John could write better than I could. I swear to God. Yeah. He really could if he wanted to.
It just kind of, you know, it works well together. So maybe that working together with somebody before you pass it on would help.
Yeah, that would be. If I wasn't in such a rush to get out the door, I would have done that. Mm-hmm. I would have brought on some people as sort of apprentice writers first. But the problem is, when you want to leave, you want to leave.
Yeah.
And all the motivation to do all that extra work just evaporates, you know, because now if you're going to leave in a month, why are you putting all the effort into it? You know, because webcomics are a full-time job, even if they're hobbies.
Right. Well, at least part-time. Kelly.
Yes.
Do you have any questions since we kind of just rattled?
No, I was just going to comment earlier on, you know, like you were saying that, like, having a plot was getting in the way of, like, making money on the comic. And, like, I mean, that seems to be pretty much, it's like a negotiation between you and your audience of, like, how much you want to make it, like, what you want and how big an audience. Because, like, the more you appeal to, like, the lowest common denominator, the more people you're going to have reading. And it's, you know, it's like every Hollywood focus group I've, like, heard kind of, like, you know.
Well, this is the famous Cerebus syndrome sort of thing. You know, it's, you start out wacky fun, you know, comic, and you get bored with that. Uh-huh. Or, but your audience doesn't.
Or you start out with this sort of ha-ha, gag-a-day, and then some guy named Buckley thinks he knows how to write drama. And, no, it's a common thing. It was like, it happened with me with PSI. It's like, I started like, oh, this is going to be a gag-a-day where I insult myself about how depressing I am. And then it turned into, like, a thing, and then I'm starting to add more dramatic storylines because writing good. essentially, and I think that's a natural progression. And I think at that point, I don't know, you might consider maybe end your one comic and start working on something completely and try to wedge your baby basically into every single thing you want to do. That's essentially what happened with PSI. And who knows, I could have been working on a different, better comic that started more thought out and planned and more marketable at that point. But
the problem with that is there is a lot of cachet just in the name. And I found this because I have made a couple of comics that jumped off of my main Exern comic. And it was like, hey, see this other thing I'm doing. And people don't want to see the other thing you're doing. they want the comic that they know.
Mm-hmm. Did they have any of the characters from Exern in those? Were they like spinoff comics?
Yeah, that's the best way to do it, is to do a spin-off comic with taking a character and the general world over to someplace else. That's what Giselle is doing with her Eerie Cutie.
I was just about to bring that up.
Mega world.
Yeah.
But she's staying in the same vein. I mean, if you take a look at any one of those comics, it's pretty much the same comic. You know, it's pretty much the same well, wacky, sexy, fun thing.
Well, it's also absolutely the same universe, and they cross over every once in a while.
Yeah, you know? If she wanted to do her impressionist angst comic or something like that, you know, and she couldn't jump to that.
Well, if she did, see, this thing with Giselle, because how do you say her name?
I say it Giselle. I don't know if that's the official way.
So one thing with her I notice is that she reuses characters, essentially.
Yeah.
Almost, and she's not the only one that does this, almost as if the characters are actors in a sitcom. I'm wondering if that also helps or if that may hinder.
I can tell you it helps quite a lot.
Okay.
I have launched three comics off of Exern. I've launched a spin-off comic that used the same characters but a different world. I've used a comic that was similar in tone but with different characters, and I've launched a comic that was completely different. So the spinoff was Dark Reflections on Ixern. That was the same characters, a slightly different world. That was the most popular. That got about 50% of the audience transferring over. Blade Bunny was a similar tone, but totally different characters and world. And that got about 15 to 20% crossing over. Legacy was the one that was completely different. That got 5%. No one cared. And I promoted the heck out of that.
Well, it kind of makes sense. It's really interesting to approach that, because it's like we do the same thing with movies and TV shows. Hey, that actor, I liked him on blank. Maybe this will be good.
Yeah. But the moment you see Jim Carrey doing his dramatic work, you get upset.
No, I like his dramatic work.
You are not the rest of the world, unfortunately.
Screw the world!
Oh, man. Yeah, I have a comic that I really, like, it's one of those ones where, like, before I wasn't doing it because I wasn't ready to, and now I'm ready to start it, but I have, like, a big other thing that I need to get out of the way first that probably has 100 hours of work left in it before I can move on. But it's, you know, it's a lot more serious than Manly Guys is, and it's all original characters, and, you know, I keep saying, you know, like, because I was like, oh, I don't, you know, like, I don't want to stop Manly Guys, I want to keep it updating, like, once a week. And people are like, oh, no, we'll follow you, the new one, wherever you go. It's like, no, you won't. Like, 90% of the audience on this comic is because you like seeing Gyarados make silly faces. Like, it's... It's original characters, and it's more serious, and there's no video game references, so, like, most of you guys aren't going to go there.
Yeah, that's the hard part. Once you quit a comic, is that when you go to a new comic, you are quite literally starting over, and you're starting over in an entirely different universe, because the net keeps on changing. And so that's the really hard part. When you start a new comic, it's like, oh, shoot, I'm right back in the beginning now, and all the rules I learned to get the previous comic to work have changed. And that's the hard part of quitting, because you are giving up something there.
Yeah, that is a fair point. Though I think it's time for us to take a break. After the break, I'm going to actually splice in my interview with Tom Sweck of Alone in a Crowd, and we'll be right back.
This program is part of the Webcast Beacon Network at webcastbeacon.com. You can find and follow us on Tumblr, Facebook, Google+, and Twitter. Just search for Webcast Beacon. Have thoughts or questions on an episode? You can leave us a voicemail at 1-320-310-0922 or email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. The Webcast Beacon Network, covering and promoting creativity in the creative process since 2007. Comics, art, and writing discussions, interviews, news, and reviews at webcastbeacon.com. Now, back to our show.
Tom Razzle Dazzle Brazzleton isn't going to be here, it seems, so.
Okay, so I got to bring the full force.
You're kind of one of the players that you didn't directly push me, but indirectly helped me make a decision.
Inspired you?
Inspired me to quit.
Is your muse? I'm crushing dreams all over the place. It's great.
So we're here with, let me see if I can pronounce this name right. Is it Tom Sweck?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh. Really? No one ever gets it right. How did you do that?
I don't know. It just seemed like it might be right.
Well, you know what? I shouldn't say no one ever gets it right. That's not fair. Like, telemarketers, wrong. Teachers, wrong. Podcast hosts, right. Like, you got it. I was on TGT. Kirk got it. So,
all right. And
now, are we actually recording?
We're actually recording right now. Hey, imagine that.
I got no warning. I could have said anything. I could have been very incriminating right then.
Oh, yes.
They've been like, yeah, let me tell you all the webcomics I hate and why.
So as stated earlier...
Let me tell you who drove me off.
So as stated earlier, Tom here had decided to end his comic, and we'll go into reasons why. And that was sort of like some of his reasons why made me start thinking about my own projects and is like, So, but before we get into that, let's actually, since you've never been, I don't think you've ever been on the show before.
No, I was kind of laughing about that to myself recently, thinking that, you know, I would be doing the comic all this time. And, you know, every now and then I'd be like, oh, what if I ever get on the Webcomic Beacon? Because, you know, of course I've listened to it, you know, and, you know, never happened. Quit the comic, and here I am. So I think the thing I've learned from this experience is to get what you want as a cartoonist, you need to quit.
To be fair, I mean, there's been a lot of people that I actually would like to interview and get on, of varying popularity.
Oh yeah,
and I just never get around to it because.
Well, I mean, it's scheduling conflicts.
Scheduling, and... but also it's like I got like. I got these topics that I want to get to for the show.
And you want people relevant and everything like that.
Well, yeah, like even this particular episode right now that I'm recording, this is actually recorded later than the rest of the episode, and it's being spliced in somewhere. I don't know where it's going to end up yet. This particular show got delayed a month from coming out because of a couple other shows I ended up recording and putting in there. But yes, after this episode, the Webcomic Beacon will be on hiatus over the summer, and we'll come back for the semifinale in the fall. Though the newscast episodes will still keep going, but the core programming, the traditional programming that we've done for the Webcomic Beacon, that's going to go on hiatus, unless. I just can't help myself to interview some people, but it would probably just be one-on-one.
You'll have to you'll go 2 weeks and then you'll just walk by random strangers on the street and just break down, grab them like, so tell me what you think.
Yeah. If I do anything like that, it'll likely be one-on-one interviews and be short, but I'm trying to not get ahead of myself, but because you've never been on the show before, how about we actually talk about your comic, Alone in the Crowd, at AIAcrowd.com.
Yes. It's done. No, I'm just kidding. let's see. This actually goes into one of the many reasons why I felt like it was time to quit, because I don't have an elevator pitch for it. Like, it's one of those comics where you cannot sum it up in one sentence, but... you know, it's a slice of life story with comedy and some drama about these two sisters that, you know, they lost their parents years ago. And now the older sister is raising the younger sister. But she's kind of an outcast, not a lot of friends and, you know, well, actually no friends technically. And they end up taking in this little girl who was abandoned by her parents because she's the only friend this you know, the younger sister's ever made. And and the younger sister has cat ears, which is kind of the signifying element of the strip, I guess.
It's almost a MacGuffin.
It's just kind of there.
And
yeah, that's the thing. Like when I started, it was one of those things where it's funny to think about now because the idea just seems a little ridiculous. But when I started, my intent was there's so many comics or anime or whatever that has these cat girl characters, and they're always so weird or very much based in fiction. And I'm like, I wanted to create a character that this makes no sense when I say it, but a cat girl that was almost based in the real world. To the sense of like it's just there, and essentially I was writing it in a way that it didn't matter if she had him or not, it still worked. But see, it's all breaking down because I'm like, this is why I stopped, because there was elements of the strip that didn't work for me. No, but I mean, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, you don't have an elevator pitch, so
yeah, that's what I mean. I would always fumble on it, and just I just could never really work it out. I mean,
you know, I should probably open up a service. Need help on your elevator pitch?
Yeah, you know, at one point I was asking my readers to suggest some, and there are some good ones, but there's just. Not that I'm trying to make my comic out to be something that's not, but there's just so many elements and little aspects of it that I don't think it can be summed up in one word that, you know, does it justice, quote unquote. But there might be almost too much going on. I don't know.
There kind of is.
Yeah.
There's a lot. I mean, there kind of is as far as like trying to get a pitch going, but you know, it's like the what I would probably call the first book probably focuses more on more of what you just talked about, and then like the second book, you know, you're actually exploring some of the other characters more so. So that's not a particularly bad thing because you know you were expanding the universe, and developing characters. So I mean, you could break it down into books or volumes. In that situation, but eventually, how long had you been doing this comic?
Well, I say 5 years, but you know, it's like toss up between 5 or 6. Like, I found sketches where I was first getting the ideas that dated back to 2006, but it wasn't actually online in any form until about 2008. So I just say between 5 and 6 years.
Well, all right, and so, tell me about some of the. Tell me about leading up to what your ultimate decision to put the comic on indefinite hold.
Well, I mean, it was a hard decision, but it was also a long time coming. I mean, people who know me very well, like I didn't necessarily. Show this as the public persona that because I was very much open and talkative with my readers, but I didn't display this a hint of any of this at all really. But people who knew me knew it was a long time coming because I mean for over a year I'd have moments of like I don't know maybe I should take a break or maybe I should do this and but then I'd be like no I can't I love this is what I got to do this is what I really want to do this idea it's gonna I gotta keep pushing it it'll hit eventually you know. But it's just, it got to the point where, like, the easiest way to describe it is, I think a lot of people start a comic for, you know, when they're not a professional yet, for fun, but maybe with professional intent, or it's a hobby, or it's one of those things that's supposed, no matter what, it's supposed to be fun. And I was just getting to the point where, even though I enjoyed the characters, I enjoyed the end result, the whole process of just running it and creating it. It was getting to the point where it felt more like work than something I was enjoying. I felt like I was doing it more out of an obligation to do it than my heart's really in it. This is what I have to do.
Were you feeling you were not enjoying it as much as your readers were enjoying it? Or were you feeling that maybe your readers weren't, I mean, you clearly felt like you weren't getting enough out of what you were putting into it.
No. It's one of those things where I'm trying to think the best way to put it. I definitely know there was a lot of people enjoying it. And I was enjoying it too. Like the best way I described it when I was writing my whole big blog post explaining what was happening was the characters in the comic mean the world to me and like their lives, their story, like they're important to me. They're always going to be important to me, but I had grown tired and overcritical and unhappy with the comic they were built into. thought it was very flawed.
I know that you did retcon one thing at one point.
I had just a very, very small thing that didn't have much of an effect, but it was just bugging me. And that's one of those things where I was like, yeah, if I do this, maybe a lot of these things that about it that I feel are holding it back will.
So you didn't have was this a sort of writing as you go comic?
Oh yeah, yeah, absolutely. That's the problem. That is one of the biggest problems because I started it and I was like, yeah, it's a comic where I remember when I started, I was describing it as it's like Seinfeld, but not necessarily comparing it in quality, but in the theme of
it's about nothing.
Yeah, it's well, more so it's about there's not an overarching story that the characters are work off of. The stories are completely built off the characters themselves. Like they create the stories and they're just everyday stuff and it can be anything.
Okay.
So I left myself open to like, yeah, I can just do whatever. And, you know, I had a ending in mind that I'm like, yeah, someday I'll work towards this and it'll be an ending at some point. But everything in between, totally up in the air. You know, it could, I mean, I had places I wanted to go at different points. And I'll even admit that a lot of them I do kind of regret never getting to go there. But
so do you still actually want to continue these characters in some sort of comic? Do you think you just need to do something completely different?
Right now, I need to do something completely different, which I am. I have another project lined up. I'm teaming up with Maxwell Vex, who does a comic called Agents of the End Times, who we've essentially been colleagues and friends since we each started, and our kind of paths have kind of run parallel this whole time in a weird way. So it's kind of serendipitous that we're stopping our comics and then trying something together. And it's one of those things where I've learned from a lot of mistakes, and not that I want to say there's a lot of mistakes, but I can see the faults in what I've done, and you don't do something for that long without getting better at it and seeing what works and what doesn't.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, when you've set so much up, you can only change so much to get better. You're like, you can only change so much about it to get better without not being true to what you've set up so far, you know? And so I'm just at the point where I'm like, as much as I love these characters, if I want to do something creative and if I want to pursue this as something that maybe could push me further, I need to do something different and take what I've learned and apply that. Like this next comic that we're working on, it's not going to be as free form. It's set up into chapters. Mm-hmm. There's, and it's also built up in a way that, you know, cause a lot of people are like, oh, you know, I really wish you would have ended Alone in a Crowd in a better spot. You know, and I tried to explain, right. I'm like, well, to do that, I just have to keep going and going more. And the point is I need to stop right now before I go crazy. Whereas, you know, with this other strip working on, we can plan ahead and be like, okay, the way we're designing it, if we get to that point where we realize we got to stop, there are plenty of good spots where it can be done. You know, there's a lot of stuff like that that you can put to end.
I don't remember how much I recorded of this particular episode's topic, but I do know that I have since officially put my PSI comic on indefinite hiatus.
Oh yes,
because I just don't have the time, and that's part of what this whole thing is all about. But I did end up posting a synopsis or a general, this is how things would go until it would end as far as that I know it would end before something. If it were to continue after it would end here, it'd take place like a year later or something like that. So I ended up writing the whole thing down. I put it behind a password. So if you want spoilers, you can use the password and get in and read the rest. So I didn't want to leave anyone hanging that really wanted to read it.
Now let me ask you this: the people that have gone to Reddit, did they like it? I'm not.
I haven't heard any.
But did they like being able to see where it goes like that.
I've lost a lot of readership over the years, and I have very few comments. I could ask, but nobody's ever commented yet whether or not they liked that or whatever. But
yeah, because I did think of doing that. That was one of the things that crossed my mind. I'm like, you know what? Maybe I'll just tell people this is what the story was leading up to, and then they know, or even just draw it out and say like, hey, if I ever want to come back, I'll just fill in the blanks. But I just, again, that would take more time working on it, which I just said needed to step away from at the time.
I didn't
want to just put it out there because I'm like, what if I do come back?
Yeah.
You know, I don't want it to be ruined because of that. Or if I change my mind on the ending, you know, I don't know, but.
Oh, well, I mean,
it's just one of those things where
you need to step away for a while and let things simmer. And
yeah. And for the most part, people were like, the amount of support and understanding that I got was astounding. Like that made it more difficult than anything. Not that I want to make people feel bad for showing support, but, it was great. It was amazing. And it was really made me feel like, oh, people care and that's great. And, you know, people that, for all this time, never heard a comment or nothing, they came out of the woodwork just saying like, oh, you know, I'm really sad to see it go. I really liked it, but you know, I understand and good luck. And, you know, so that was great to see that people had that attitude. Cause the initial expectation is that people are just going to be really pissed, and you know how the internet is. Everyone's ready to fight and say something idiotic. And yeah, not that I didn't get a couple of those, but
yeah,
you know, you get that anyway doing a comic. So
yeah, I for a while, some people have already been hearing that I've been ending the show, and yeah, it's been going on, and now this is the official episode. So hopefully, a lot more people will know about it, and I might get some more feedback on it. At least eventually when people go through their RSS feed as they catch up, as we don't update for a whole lot during the summer. Maybe like, he'll catch
what
up.
Happened?
But I don't know what else to say because I probably already said it in the rest of this episode. There are going to be a couple of things here and there likely updated on the site. Hopefully the website itself will be updated into a new form and... with that, I won't say it here because it didn't actually happen yet as of the recording of this, but, I am looking to, get an affiliate program connected with the Webcast Beacon Network, particularly for the web fiction content that we provide. I think that's going to be it, Tom, but thank you for, coming with me on.
No problem. I'm very happy to be here, you know, good to actually talk to you. Nice to be able to speak one-on-one. Say hi.
Hello. And goodbye as I splice this back into the rest of the show. Actually, we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be right back with the previously recorded content.
When I met you, I thought you were really smart. And even more so when we started. Felt that I could really understand you. But then it went downhill, and we'll never get back to our better days. I'm done, I've had my thrill, and I think we ought to go our separate ways. But it isn't you, it's me. I guess we just weren't meant to be. I thought we were inseparable, I thought you were my friend. me. I need someone more scholarly. I thought you had the answers, but your smarts are all pretend, and my attraction only makes sense at the end.
It All Makes Sense at the End by Molly Lewis, found at sweetafton23.com. All right, Mark.
Yeah? What?
We're all going to be looking at you now.
Oh, no. Oh, gee.
So the idea is whether or not it's that 5 years seems to be the make or break it point. And I love Autumn Lake. I think it's...
You're the one.
Yeah, well, and my mom, too. seriously, it's you don't see a whole lot of comics like that anymore. And now...
There's a reason, apparently.
Apparently, there's not enough people. So Autumn Lake, you've been doing this for like 5 years or so.
Maybe
a little bit. It's down for like a really long time.
And you started like daily.
2006.
Five times a week, and you're updating like a madman, really. And so what happened? What happened?
Well, a couple of things. I'd been doing it since like May of 2006. And I think it's pretty much like as described. You start out the first year, you're really excited and everything. I think that's the perfect description of the track I went on. By the time I was done, by the time I was getting done with it, I was pretty burnt out. I was, and I remember the first time I skipped an update, like on purpose, that wasn't a server problem or a computer problem or something, or a vacation even. It was like, I think I'd just rather watch a movie tonight.
That's why I can't skip any updates, because I know that's going to happen to me. It's like going to the gym. As soon as one day goes by, you're like, nope, never doing this again.
I was also working without any kind of buffer. So I would what my schedule was, I would come home from work, because I worked at a crappy place. I would come home from work and I would eat something and then make a comic. And I may or may not have a storyline. It's mostly a gag a day comic. So if I wasn't doing a storyline, it was much harder to come up with gags, because they're one off things.
Mm-hmm.
So between storylines, which would tend to meander and be very long because they're so much more easier to make, I would force myself to do several weeks of just gag a day stuff, just to make sure I didn't atrophy. You know, but those creative muscles might atrophy otherwise.
Yeah.
So I was doing that, and I'd make a comic, and then I may or may not have time to watch a DVD or something, and then go to bed, and then the next day it'd be the same thing. So it got to be quite a chore after a while. I was pretty burnt out doing it without any success to speak of. And I think that that's the other factor. If I had
advertised,
any kind,
if you had advertised, maybe.
No. And I've done all that too. Really? That was the other thing. I'd done all that already. I'd done Project Wonderful. I'd advertise on blogs. I dropped quite a bit of money on it and got zero return. So I might see an uptick in traffic, but if I weren't advertising, that would all go away. And I did that enough times. I was like, no, advertising's not the answer. Something else is wrong. If I had any kind of audience at all, like, you know, more than 100 people, then I would probably not have gotten burnt out on it. But I probably
had
less
than 100. You didn't even have over
that? I probably had less than 100 people reading it. Well, much less. I mean, the stats were pretty bad. No, there's much less than 100 people.
Well, you were better than me, and I don't know what...
Well, that's the other thing. So maybe it's the URL, maybe because it's a porny URL, or maybe because... I don't know. It's
maybe
just
nobody
not...
wants that, like, sort of newspaper style.
Maybe they don't want it. On the...
I almost feel like it appeals to a younger audience than you typically find on the... Because, like, I remember, like, because your comic's, like, very, like, kind of Peanuts looking, and I remember, like, you know, the when I was reading like Peanuts and Garfield, and I loved them, and you know, like I'm sure I would have been like, you know, I've read your comic, but it's like I'm sure I would have been like keeping up with it super like rigorously if when you know when I was like 8 years old and stuff, and you know that's and
but I was writing it at I wasn't writing it for kids.
Yeah, but you know, it just so seems like that style of like newspaper strip is like really appealing to kind of like younger audiences.
Maybe it's throwing people off. What if, like Go Comics, like the ones that that host a ton of newspaper comics and other things. What if you were on a community of webcomics?
I don't think it would matter. I honestly don't think it would matter.
But there's like a lot of like other comics out there personally, I think if Go Comics did pick you up, there might be a lot of crossover from like the newspaper comic crowd. I mean, I'm sure they have advertisements on their sites, and I mean, I'm also like keeping on clinging to things. I was like, no, I would like to be like more popular.
Well, I thought about all that. I just don't think ultimately it would make much difference. It wasn't so much that it wasn't making any money, because it wasn't. It's never paid for itself in any way. It's more that just people weren't reading it. So if you're working in, I mean, you're the voice crying in the wilderness, you know, and at a certain point, I just kind of got burnt out on that and started skipping updates. And then I moved to another state and didn't have an internet connection. So that made it even easier not to do anything. And so, then I kind of went back and sort of half-heartedly finished off the storyline I'd been working on, which wasn't that great, and I wasn't really...
It was a little fun. Come on.
And then I did a second story, which was the furry story. It's actually pretty funny. I thought that was pretty good, and I had planned to do a lot more with it. But then I thought, and I kind of got burnt out on it again, and The thing for me is I was very religious about doing something for every holiday. Like on a holiday, I had to have like that special holiday comic. And I've skipped a bunch of those too. And I kind of came up with a better idea, or what I think is a better idea. And so I decided to work on that instead. So I don't know. I don't like to say that it's a dead comic. Autumn Lake, I don't like to say that I'll never go back to it, but the odds are I probably won't, to be honest.
So it's indefinitely on hiatus.
It's indefinitely on hiatus. I hate to think of it that way, because I have all kinds of ideas and stories, and I love the characters and things I'd like to do, but if nobody's reading it, what the hell's the point?
Yeah.
You know, you're just making it for yourself and a couple friends and your mom. You know, you can't really spend hours and hours of your life just that way. Now with Dreaming of Utopia, I've only had 30 pages up since February, and even though it's only in pennies, like literally pennies, I've made more on Project Wonderful from this one thing than I did in a whole time I did Autumn Lake. Just a ratio.
Yeah.
You know, I've already you know, I make a percentage more money now doing that, even yeah. though it's just pennies.
Ardra had like a decent audience, I would say, and the most that it had ever made during like a year or 2 years was $200. And that's when it was updating, and that was using child safe ads and Project Wonderful only. No, mm-hmm. Jason wouldn't let me have it on anything because it was too much of a pain in the butt. But now that, you know, it's separated a little bit more, I actually have no adult ads on there now. And I'm, you know, so that can be a thing, too. A lot of people just don't have ads that are marked child safe, so they don't bother, you know?
Yeah, but yeah, I mean, I think Mark has a really good point under the name of our episode here of Know When to Fold Them. Mm-hmm. Sometimes you put something on the internet and you say, hey guys, look at what they made, and everyone goes, eh, we're not interested in that. And
yeah they just sort of internet shrugs.
But here's another segue I'm going to try to make. So you have Autumn Lake sort of, I mean, you're working on your new comic and everything, so you kind of got a drive for that. But as far as Autumn Lake, because it's not really ended in any sort of way, do you kind of have an itch to do something that sort of ends the comic, or you just want to kind of leave it like, you know, okay, well,
no, it's sort of like the sitcom that doesn't have a farewell episode. It just runs in perpetuity.
Oh, that bugs me so much. At least it's not like a cliffhanger like soap where it's just like, is everybody gonna die? Or
yeah, but there's no cliffhanger. It's not like the original V miniseries that ended and like the TV show ended and hey, it's this big cliffhanger that's never resolved.
It's like how Peanuts ended. It was just kind of like, thank you for reading.
Yeah. But this, you know, it doesn't really need an ending. I mean, I don't see it as that kind of thing. It's not like I left anybody in hanging with a cliffhanger. Because it's a gag-a-day comic, so it's like, you know.
Well, sure.
I mean, I suppose I should put something up there, but I keep thinking maybe I'll post something on there when I get the time. And
well, it's like, okay, for, well, this is kind of where it folds into my project. So PSI, I just haven't updated it in a long time, and I feel really, really bad about, because, you know, I was like, I really hate it when the story is not completed at all. But I have the whole like outline in my head. Eventually I just got, okay, you know what? I really don't have the time for this. If you guys really want to, here's a link. This gives you the outline of pretty much what would happen from here to until when things get resolved enough. And
see, my comic though doesn't do that.
Well, I'm a story now, but yours is more of a gag thing. But you know, I mean, there might be some questions like, will Sherm ever find happiness, or you know, just general things. But yeah, you didn't have a storyline that was going, that was unfinished. So I guess it's a lot more different for that style. Though I do notice that, you know, as you were going on, you started doing a lot bigger and longer storylines in Autumn Lake. And I was wondering if that was like I understand, like trying to do Gagastay stuff is much more difficult than working on a storyline. But did you have more like an itch after a while? Just, you know what? I want to tell a bigger, deeper story. Oh, thank you, phone.
No, I don't think so. I mean, they would come to me. The stories would just come to me. And because they were – I found them easier to do because it's like a crutch. All you have to do is instead of coming up with a one-off thing, all you have to do is come up with a gag that fits this particular point in your story. So I found that to be quite a crutch. I found it to be quite easier. Mm-hmm. But that also means that the comics tend to meander a bit, the story tends to meander and become longer than maybe it needs to be. It probably needed a good editor.
Maybe.
And the other thing was, you know, I'm not really a website guy, so, you know, I would have to go to other people because that's one hat I don't wear very well. And it kind of sucked because I needed to have other people fix things when I'd break them.
Yeah.
Like yourself, like Fess, you did all this work to fix it and bring it over to WordPress from this ancient kamikaze stuff that I had.
Was that
Then and you did all that work, and then Frump, God bless him, he went in and moved it all over to Easel.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's after I broke the site, he salvaged it all. And did all that work, which is so awesome, so kind of him to do. Mm-hmm. He's really awesome. So that was something. If something would break, I wouldn't know what to do. I wouldn't know how to fix it because it was such a patchwork site, and it still is.
But what does this have to do with the creative aspect of the comic?
Well, it's a factor. It's another factor in being frustrated with it.
Mm. Yeah, it's just like exhaustion because I have to wait for people to fix my site too. And it's like, you know, when something's going wrong and – I mean, something goes wrong on my site and I have people emailing me constantly about it until it's like fixed, and it just gets so like I remember there was one time my site went down and it was nothing anybody could do. It was like a Dreamhost thing. And we put like, you know, I put on Tumblr and Facebook and Twitter, and we put like a little message on the site that said like, sorry, there was a Dreamhost thing, it's down. And I was still getting emails from people like, where'd your site go? And I was like crying on the subway. Way, not because it's like no one was being mean, it was just like they're so dumb.
You're helpless.
This is my life now, dealing with these dumb people.
Yeah, and in my case, it's like no one was emailing me. Why is your site down? Nobody would. But I mean, that's a whole nother level of stuff. Hmm. So my site was half WordPress, half PHP, half this other editor that I was using, this graphics editor, just makes websites, which worked very, very well.
All of your pages were HTML pages.
Yeah, but it's all this sort of hodgepodge patchwork thing that I really don't know how to fix or do things with. So with Dreaming of Utopia, it's just straight up WordPress on Easel, which you should look at Easel if you want to upgrade to something. That's great. So that's all it is. It's very simple now. And I'll add more pages as I go, but mm-hmm. they're just going to be in WordPress. It's just going to be as simple as I can make it without the agony of having to line everything up in one version to fit the other pages, blah, blah, blah. And So Autumn Lake still needs some repair.
Yeah. I feel
whether I'll invest the time or not, I don't know.
Yeah. And I'm sort of with Mark here in that when you're ready to quit, you lose all the motivation to deal with this sort of crap.
Anything, you know, and vacation at that point.
Yeah. Because I mean, I have decided that on my other comic, Blade Bunny, I'm bringing that to an end. I've looked at the numbers; it's not growing the way I want, and I've just said the end of this arc is the end. This has been the hardest arc to write. All of a sudden, because it's all of a sudden I'm doing all this stuff and I'm just writing and I'm saying there's no point to this. There's no point to this. There's no point to this as I'm going through and trying to wrap up everything.
So you are trying to just end the whole thing instead of just end this. You're actually like, okay, I want to completely end this thing. Complete it.
Blade Bunny is a narrative comic. You know, it has a storyline. I would like to end the current storyline, which is very hard because I never really planned out the storyline. I just threw random stuff in and said, this is part of the story now. But yeah, I'm going to try to wrap everything up and have a conclusion to the story. And then that's going to be it. You know, the comic's had some success, but not to the point that justifies the work I put into it. Mm. And it's time to move on. And it is unbelievably painful to do that writing once you know that you're going to end it. It is the hardest writing.
I kind of envy people who do these limited in size. I mean, they do these short, like little graphic novels, and they know how that story begin, middle, end. And it's like in 50 pages, 100 pages, or whatever the hell it is. I kind of envy them because they can just move on to the next big thing, you know, that new story, and they'll always be fresh, you know? They'll never get stale.
Maybe that's just a matter of, as a writer, they know what they got to do. Like a lot of us that we started our web comics, like a lot of web cartoonists out there, a lot of people that have been here with us for over 5 years on the Webcomic Beacon, we just sort of started a webcomic and we didn't really know what we were doing, and things just evolve, and just learning how to tell a story like in a more concise way, actually planning, scripting ahead. Imagine that.
Editing,
you
being good editors.
Yeah, there's a whole lot more to it. And I kind of wanted to bring this up in another episode I'm still wanting to do later this year. That's webcomics models over the years. How there's no bar of entry for webcomics. And there isn't, except there's maybe...
You need internet access, that's about it.
Well, yeah, but there is a bar of succession that we... have on ourselves to do, or we're just going to fade out unless we're absolutely stubborn, I suppose.
I was pretty stubborn with this. I have to say, I don't hate the comic. I didn't get sick of making the comic. I got sick of being the voice in the wilderness and not getting anywhere.
Absolutely.
With it.
I agree.
Because there's a lot of time. You put a lot of time into something and there's no return, and it just kind of sucks, so it's time to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Eric, were you going to jump in there? Oh, I think we lost Eric.
Sorry. Not particularly. I was going to say a couple of things. I mean, first of all, on the bars of entry, there really kind of is getting this really hard division between amateur and professional, where you can't transition anymore as well. If you're going to go do amateur, then you've got a plan that you're going to do amateur, learn how it works, and then end whatever comic you started with, because your first comic is going to suck and you're not even going to realize it sucks until you get into it.
Right.
And you'll learn a lot, but don't expect anything to come from that first one. The web's becoming a lot more professional now, and you need to have professional backing now or you're not going to go anywhere.
Yeah, it's you got to have the skills. There's so much out there. There's so much. Yes, there's like 30,000 webcomics out there. A lot of you guys suck, and I'm sorry. And I'm a part of the group that doesn't do well, but you keep doing it anyway. But I'm not like Sonic Chew bad. But
it's almost like at this point that it's all just sort of shaken out. You know, just like with a print industry almost, where you have those people who draw like gods, you know, just like in the old comics, in old print comics, you had people who were kind of crappy and you had people who could really draw and really write and really make art. And naturally, they just sort of naturally surface, you know, to the top. Mm-hmm. Right.
Well, like web comics are like the new kind of like, you know, those little zines and stuff, like, you know, like all the underground comics and that, like, you know, you definitely like, you know, they're like the, what's it, Cerevis or Cer, which is like,
Cerevis.
Yeah, yeah. Like, you know, like there are the ones like that and Bone and Usagi and stuff that like definitely like rise above. But it's like if you go to a convention or something or, you know, just a shop that sells like indie comics and stuff, like, you know, the real underground indie comics, it's like, yeah, definitely like the cream floats to the top.
Yeah.
I mean, they're out of all the sort of crap underground so-called comics that have been produced over the years, there's only one Crumb, you know, or Harvey Pecker. I mean, there's only like one or two of them that really rise up to the top to that level, and there it's obvious why, because they're that much better.
Well, I would sort of argue with against that. I mean, I think a lot of the comics that we see on top right now are comics that started first. There's a certain first person in the pool philosophy here, that there are people who are going on who are still horrible artists and writers, and the fact that they were the first comic, that's still carrying them. But we're starting to see now sort of this seismic shift of where publishers really matter. And someone coming in here and having a publisher and having people promote it and really effectively promote it makes a huge amount of difference for the comic.
And we're gonna talk. I'm gonna we got to stop this derailment because we are going to have another episode exactly on this in the future. And I wanted to bring this home a little bit. And that's like, you know, basically the transition to go from sort of the hobbyist to amateur to professional is not something that you can really transition with your existing body of work.
No, it's, you can't.
And that's part of the problem with the webcomic Beacon. We started with the by amateurs for amateurs, very much so. And we did a lot of good over the past 5 years and multiple aspects. Certain people which are on this episode I've talked to have convinced me to stop fighting it and just, you know, look at it. Okay, there's other webcomics podcasts out there that are at the mid-range to higher progression level. We can't provide that service. We can't talk about much more than we've already talked about. There's not much more we can say on the subject, but you know, and but I don't want to go out as a whimper. I refuse to go out as a whimper. So what, so this is me making my announcement here, and I'm going to turn my volume up here because I'm a little quiet. That, and I kind of mentioned this on a newscast earlier, but the Webcomic Beacon core programming, the newscast is going to continue for now, and we're going to see how that rolls, because when the newscast was really running in its prime with Eric and Jason and Tom and everybody, it was actually getting better numbers than the core programming. So maybe there's still an audience for that. We'll see. But the core programming for sure is going to be ending. The newscast and the Webcomic Beacon are going to be combining in a few weeks. Recombining, actually. And so it's going to be the Webcomic Beacon through and through. The core programming will be ending at the end of this year. I'm going to basically going to stretch this out until the 6th anniversary because I can. We're going to be going on hiatus this summer. This summer we're going to be going on hiatus. I have a, in addition to this episode, as in the time of this recording, there are two previously recorded Webcomic Beacon episodes that'll come out beforehand, which you would have listened to. And then after this, right now, we are going on hiatus until likely September 2013. Shows I'm planning on, I'm going to try to put together, talk about, see if I can put together what we can legally do as far as creators when we have people that are stealing our stuff online, as in stealing and representing it as their own. I'm going to see if I can put that together. Any additional help I could have with that one is welcomed. Webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. I'm also planning to put together an episode of pricing your commissions. What are you worth? We're going to have a discussion with that with some guests that I'm talking to already. We're going to have another excuse to talk about an episode with Bond. Yes, James Bond, because they just had a 50th anniversary, and we have also had a Doctor Who excuse episode. And so we're going to get the Rich Morris back on, who guy who did the 10 Doctors comic, because he's now doing a Doctor Who James Bond crossover comic as well. So yeah, we'll talk about James Bond. Why the hell not? But the cream of the crop for the end of the Webcomic Beacon core programming is basically three episodes. And I'm going to have to actually really, really produce these episodes. I'm going to take some time, use my creative juices, and simmer it a bit. And I'm going to put together our favorite webcomics of all time, in which I'm going to be talking to many of the significant guests and crew members of the Webcomic Beacon, and put together a sort of montage episode of just our personal favorite webcomics of all time. And why? And I got some ideas for that one. That'll be fun to try to put together. I also going to be putting together a Webcomic Beacon retrospective episode, in which I'm going to try to contact as many people as I possibly can that have been on the show. Again, significant guests, crew members, for a little progression from the beginning to basically the end of the Webcomic Beacon. Mm. Really want to put, I'm really excited because it's like, wow, I'm really actually going to try to produce a show and an episode, retrospective. And then, of course, there's going to be a sort of finale. Apparently, I always say finale, but apparently that's not what you're supposed to say. It's finale. So the finale episode of the Webcomic Beacon, I'm not entirely sure what's going to happen. I don't know if I can actually get in person with anybody for the webcomic beat from anybody from the Webcomic Beacon. I don't know if I can afford to go out to Intervention Con or anything. So I can't say for sure that I'll be able to do something with everybody, because honestly, the cost just isn't really there for me to be able to do that as much as I would like to. Tanya's in Colorado and Mark's over there on the way right, and I'm in the middle here. You know, it's kind of hard, but I'll figure something out. I'm probably going to find a local musical guest as well, because musical guest. So
why not?
Yeah,
there's always PenguinCon, of course. But,
yeah. Well,
so the real question I have,
yes,
what's next? What's next? So you end sort of in the one big
right. The newscast project will continue as long as I feel that it can. We'll reevaluate at the end of this year if it's something to keep doing, and it may end up ending with the rest of the Webcomic Beacon. We don't know yet. We'll see how it goes. First issue, the video review show that I'm doing with Melissa and Marcus, that's going to keep continuing. I'm going to go on a little hiatus with that as well. And maybe I can make that show better if I have more time to devote to it, sort of thing. So we're going to see how that goes. I might end up doing an extended or an additional segment for that particular project as well. There is a possibility I might end up doing a different sort of review show, interview show that would be a video based and likely starting a lot local. I might even just do that as a proof of concept project as well. So I have some ideas here and there.
Fess, you want my advice on this?
Maybe.
For what's next, don't even think about it until you've shut stuff down and give yourself like 2 months to just relax, and you'll get the itch again, and then you will know what you want to do.
Right. That's part of the hiatus that I'm purposely taking over con the bulk of con season, essentially. But yeah, first issue is going to keep and continue. Web Fiction World, I don't know what's really happening with that. That's going to go on hiatus for a while. It may or may not come back. We'll see. We'll see if we can find other interested people to do that, because the problem is I'm starting to work on it, and it's like, I was never supposed to work on Web Fiction World. So we'll see about that. But I do agree. I need to sort of just chill out and take the time and see where my creativeness really wants to be. I would really like to start drawing a comic again, really, honestly. And I just haven't had time to really draw. And so I'll probably hopefully end up drawing a lot this summer. We'll see.
Well, see, that's sort of the track I took. I took a little time away, and then when I made my new comic, it's very different. It's very different from Autumn Lake. It's not G-rated. It's
you made sure it wasn't G-rated really quickly.
Yeah, it's not G-rated. It's uses a lot of nasty language, which I couldn't do in Autumn Lake. There's some violence in it. But that's not why that's there. I didn't just say I want to make a crude, rude, violent comic. That's not why. It's all I thought about a story and came up with a story. But it's very different. So it's not like I would tell my mom about Dreaming Utopia. My mom wouldn't probably care for it too much.
Yeah, that's really funny, because I went from Exurn, which was violence and sex, and now I'm making children's books. So I find it's funny that you go to the opposite once you get a break.
That might be the best way to just clear all decks, you know, just wipe the slate clean and just start with something completely different, because it's not the same old stuff.
Yeah. I just keep picturing you like your little Autumn Lake Mark guy, but like as Duke Nukem.
I wanted to do a little one-off 2-3 page thing with Sherm fighting terrorists, but with machine guns and stuff. But there was yet another shooting at a school, and I thought, well, I guess I won't do that.
Well, so that's pretty much it for what's going to happen. And here's the thing, part of the precedent that really started my doubts about the show, aside from looking at the numbers essentially, was the 5th anniversary special, which it was incredibly clear that people are not actively listening, but the show's getting downloaded with how many quote-unquote entries I had for all the giveaways. So there will be likely one more giveaway at the end of this whole run, but it'll be in a way that it won't be in somebody's RSS feed catcher for months before they listen to it. So during the hiatus, eventually people will, I assume, will hear all the rest of the episodes they haven't heard yet. And so they'll catch up by the time we get to the end. So that was the other thing. I know a lot of people just, you know, we used to be live and that sort of thing. So, yes, it all basically comes down to numbers. Is like, and you know, what am I doing this for? Who am I doing this for? Are what we doing, is it being done better elsewhere? As much as I don't want to say so, it, you know, there are a couple of, you know, webcomics podcasts out there that are doing what we can do, only much better for the people that need to move on from the sort of amateur thing. I really tried. I tried really hard to be that voice, to really, you know, we've always been about helping people to do what they can and do it better. You know, it's, you know, for the love of the internet, you know, for the love of what you do. And
for the love of the game.
Yeah. Just keep on doing it. And honestly, it's like there comes to a point where it's like you can't just keep on doing it. You may have to move on to that. Or something else, you know. It's just, you know, it's been a learning experience, and I blame Eric a little bit for kicking my butt a little.
Damn
bit.
You! Everything's my fault.
Yes. Damn you, Eric!
So, again, if you have any comments, questions on anything, or again, you know, any of the episodes we're planning to talk about, if you have any, especially for the "What Can We Legally Do" episode. Yeah, you can email us at webcomicbeacon@gmail.com. There may or may not be occasional shows that come out during the summer that are just, hey, you know what? I want to talk to this person. I'll do a short little interview because I want to. There might be things like that, but you never know. And so that's pretty much it that we got going here. I do want to thank everybody that's been here over the years. Thank our crew for everything that they've done, and one thing that's really interesting, I've actually been going through the shows and trying to put together the Webcomic Beacon guest list, and at the time of this of recording of the Webcomic Beacon, as far as guests, excluding the Tropecast, excluding Web Fiction World, excluding when people were crew members of a show, because that doesn't count. We have a lot of people that have been on the show three or four times. We've had Mark. You were a guest for six shows.
I was sort of, kind of.
Yeah, you were a guest for six shows before you became an actual crew member, like a co-host. But you had also supplied 17 segments, which, I think you started as reviews, and then you started just doing your own little thing. Your weird little, like, it was like in relation to the topic, so that was kind of fun. Going back and seeing some of those things. But above you, Jules Rivera and Alex Heberling both have seven guest appearances. This is also including the newscast. Okay. Not as a crew, but as a guest on the newscast. Melissa Kircher, 9 times. T. Campbell has been on 9 times. Michael Delheim, 12 times. Adam Smithy, 14 times. Thomas Rivore, 8 times, including one as a newscast guest before he was officially a host. So there's that. Ben Carver, 22 times. He's been, you know, when you add like the newscast, even without the newscast, he's been on the Webcomic Beacon as a guest 12 times. So he has everyone beat out, as maybe people just like hearing him and me go at it. I have no idea, but so there's that. So these are like the official counts now, according from this date. And a couple of people will have more as the next shows go up, but they're still in the 3 to 4 range, include Zoe Robinson, Yamino, Megan Rose Gedris, Kurt Sasso, Ace Plughead, aka Steph, and Kitty Hawk, actually. So, yeah, otherwise, below that, it's only like 2 appearances, and who cares? I'm just kidding. So that is it for this episode of the Webcomic Beacon here at webcomicbeacon.com. We're going to be going on hiatus for at least 3 months. It looks like we won't be back until September. May or may not be occasional shows before then. We'll see. Newscast will keep going for at least 6 months from this point, and we'll reevaluate it. Eric, I got to thank you very much for coming on the show today.
Well, thank you, Fess.
And we might get a couple more people spliced in beforehand, before this exact part in the show. There may or may not have been a splice of two more people I kind of wanted to talk to. We'll see. But other than that, you know, Kelly?
Yes.
You know, it's not you. You weren't a thorn in this at all, but I do appreciate you being able to come on as a crew member. No one can replace Tanya. I understand that, but I think you did an all right job. And I'll keep you guys updated on when we have more episodes, when we're going to record the next episodes in the future. And I'm going to email you and get back to me on your emails for some of this stuff as well. Mark.
Hey.
It's been a pleasure to work with you, and you know what? You know, I'll see you all guys in a few months.
Yes.
Yay! I know. It's tough. It's tough. Okay, that's enough.
I'm a sad little guy. All I want to do is cry. Cause we gotta say goodbye. Oh me, oh my.
And that is it for this episode. Once again, webcomicbeacon.com.